Pretty girl, pretty, pretty girl. Cease to exist, just come and say you love me. Give up your world, come on, you can't be.
Believe me, if I started murdering people, there'd be none of you left. Because my children are coming. I told you 20 years ago.
Happy New Year, Nightmare Society. I hope everyone has enjoyed their holiday. I did myself, but I'm very much looking forward to 2020. I think it's going to be a good year. All that aside, let's dive in. Thank you to our contributors for this episode. Karen, user IRL. Haji Mehenada. I'm so sorry, I completely butchered that, I'm sure. And user CrispBread95. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Now, get comfy and prepare yourself for another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
This happened several years ago. I was with my son, 7 years old at the time, and my mother-in-law. She had taken us to a very tiny, quaint town close to where she lives in Southern Virginia to look around, get lunch, and kill some time. We went to a few little stores, including a weird one that seemed almost like a big garage sale inside a building. While we were there, I noticed a man looking around. He was probably in his 40s, fairly nondescript, but he was clean and neat, and there was nothing off or creepy about him. He just seemed like a regular, generic guy. As we were leaving the store, he rushed right up behind us to leave at the same time, so close that I held the door to make sure it didn't close in his face. This was when I first got a not great feeling about him. We started walking down the street and would stop now and then for my kid to look at something on the ground or in a store window. I noticed that the man was still behind us and that every time we stopped, so did he. I mentioned this to my mother-in-law without letting my son hear. This creeped me out enough that if it were just me and my son, we probably would have left, making sure the guy didn't follow us to the car. But my mother-in-law, while in her 60s, is kind of a badass, and her being there made me feel safer. There's no way she would let anything happen to her daughter-in-law, and definitely not to her only grandchild. Where I might be uncomfortable speaking up, because if he wasn't doing anything, then I'd just be rude. She would have no problem telling him to get lost if he were to try anything, and she literally could probably kick his butt if the situation called for it. I didn't get the feeling that he was following my kid. That would have raised the stakes a lot for me. But he seemed like he was following me. I told my mother-in-law to stop and wait, pretending to look at something and keeping my son very close to me, so that the creeper would basically have to go around us unless he was willing to be completely blatant about following us. So he passed us, and we put some space between us before we kept walking in the same direction. We found a little restaurant, and as we were walking in the door, I glanced over in the direction we had come from, and saw that the man had gotten behind us again. Like I said, it was a tiny town and the main street was probably only a block or two. Still, he would have had to go all the way around the block to get back behind us, and not much time had passed, so I imagine he would have had to run. I whispered this to my mother-in-law. We were seated at the restaurant and had been there for a little while, looking over the menu, when I looked up at the big storefront window in front of me. Standing right in the window, looking straight into the restaurant, was the man. It became very clear that I had not been misinterpreting his intentions at all. We decided to just stay at the restaurant for a long lunch and then scope out the scene when we left to make sure he wasn't still following us. We didn't see him again after that, so I guess he got tired of waiting around or he found another target to stalk. I looked over my shoulder the whole way back to the car though, and I don't want to ever visit that place again. So, creepy stalker, small town guy, let's not meet again. I was barely 14 at the time. I'll be 18 in 2 weeks now. And I was very naive and had been groomed already a few times by men much older than me. That guy was one of them. I'll call him Axel, and he was a 19 going on 20-year-old guy. He was a student that lived in the same town that I did, and we met at a convention and immediately got really close as we both enjoyed anime and creepypasta. I ended up having a crush on him. I felt he did too because he often hugged me or got physically close to me. Anyway, so if we ignore the very creepy age gap, he just seemed like a perfectly normal and sweet guy, really. So one day he invited me to spend an afternoon at his place. I was obviously really excited about this because at 14, you obviously are excited to go visit your crush's place. So we spend the morning together. He takes me to a random fast food restaurant, and then we walk back to his place. I've always been really into true crime stuff. So when I walk in, I immediately recognize posters of Charles Manson all over the room. He lived in a studio, so there was really only one small room, with a couch and TV and loads of Charles Manson photos all over the walls. It was so weird, and it really scared me off. But having done 10 years of acting, I managed to look calm enough, and pretend like I did not know who the man on the poster was. He put on some background music. I'm not an expert, so I don't know which one it was, but I'm 98% sure it was a Beatles album. I was too scared to reject him, so I let him hug and even kiss me. And then, after a while, he excused himself and went to the bathroom. I was so scared it was hard to refrain from crying, but as soon as he left, I rushed to the balcony and managed to climb to the balcony next to his own. I knocked, and thank God, someone answered the door. It was a middle-aged lady who understood the situation right away and helped me get out of the building without him following me. As soon as I got home, I blocked the guy on every social media I could think of. And since then, I guess I got lucky because I never saw him again. Ever since I was 14 years old, I've been scared of lightning. It started when I was out on a soccer field during a thunderstorm and lightning struck the fence, just over 100 feet away from me. The sound was deafening, and I can still remember the awful sensation of the sound vibrating through my whole body. But this wouldn't be my only incident involving a lightning strike that I came too close to. The next time it wouldn't only scare me, it would also be my salvation. When I turned 20, I moved out from my parents who live in the capital of my country to a small community in the south, and I have no intention on moving back. Sure, a girl that grew up in the city is used to the endless variation of restaurants, bars, stores that never close, and a city that never sleeps. But I like it here, out in the country. Despite the low population of the community and something of a sleepy town stamp on it, it's charming with its colorful wooden houses, the seaside campus, and the smell of butter from the old butter factory as an eternal reminder of where you are. I can practically go out whenever I want, wherever I want, and meet a total of 10 people. The neighborhood cats, and if I'm lucky, a cute but lost hedgehog. There's one more reason why I appreciate living in a small town. It's how incredibly safe I feel here. In the city, you can barely be outside alone as a woman after 10 p.m. without feeling such discomfort that you feel compelled to check behind you once or twice every minute. All such discomfort, however, doesn't only happen after said time, or during the darkest hours of the day. It can happen at any time, but that's something you learn, something I had to learn. I was 17 and it was the summer holidays. I was spending most of it with my then boyfriend at his house, and he lived with his family about 20 minutes outside of the city. I lived with my parents at the time in the city center, just along the green subway line. So if I wanted to get back home, I had to take the commuter train to the central station, walk across it, and switch to the green subway line and ride a few minutes on there to get to my station. I was then in one of my rebellious periods and had a month before I bleached my hair. I loved it at first, but after a while my roots started to show and I realized my mistake. My angel of a mother had tired of my fuss over it and booked me at a hairdresser so that I could go back to my natural deep brown hair color. The day for my appointment at the hairdresser came, and I was as usual at my boyfriend's. But I needed something from my parents' apartment first, so I put on my headphones and jumped on the commuter train. I switched as usual to the green line and sat near one of the doors that I knew would open up perfectly to where I would get off. I like to crowd watch when I travel, not to stare at people or anything like that, but just to look at people and think about where they're going, what they do for work, or maybe just make up a story about them. It's kind of a game that I often find myself playing on the subway or commuter train. I played that game that day. I looked around at people, and when there was one station left until my stop, my eyes stuck to a man who was sitting a few feet in front of me. He was tall, perhaps in his mid-30s. His hair was dark and scruffy, wearing dark clothes and big boots. He sat with his elbows leaning against his knees, crouching slightly down towards the subway floor. Today I don't remember what my analysis or fictional story was of him, but I know I saw him. The woman in the speakers shouted out my destination and I stood up and went to the doors and stepped off. When I got out of the doors of the station, I saw that it had just started to rain. So I pulled my big hood over the headphones and started to quickly walk up to the apartment, which was only a few hundred feet from the station. The apartment is an old building with a large wooden door facing the street. The door has a glass pane that runs along the entire door. And when you enter, The staircase is entirely in marble, with an old wooden elevator and an iron lattice door that you have to close manually. When I got to the door, I put in the entry code and pushed up the door. When the door was swung aside, something was reflected in the glass. I turned around and saw the man from the subway standing behind me. At first, I was a little shocked that he was so close to me, but I assumed he was one of my neighbors or a neighbor's friend. I also assumed that he stood so close to me because it rained and he didn't want to get wet. So I said hello and pressed up the door an extra time with my hip while I took off my headphones. He did not answer. I went to the lift and pressed the button, but I heard that it did not start, so I assumed that the neighbors had opened the lattice door to park the elevator at their floor while they locked their door. I turned around and saw the man standing behind me, shaking. It was not a typical type of shaking that's common if you have a fever or a cold, but more like a spastic twitching. He stood there jerking, with his head and his back as curved as he had on the subway. But this time his eyes were not on the floor. They were on me. He opened his mouth to talk, but only incoherent sounds came out, while the shaking and jerking became more frantic.
"What's your name?"
he said at last. I remembered my parents' words of wisdom to never tell your name to a stranger, especially one whom one feels threatened by. I wanted to tell him to go, but I felt like I was frozen and provoking him might make the situation worse. I replied with a false name. He then asked,
"Do you live here?"
I lied and answered that I didn't, and that I'm just here to see a friend. I remember thinking that I was smart. Now he didn't know my name or where I lived, I thought. But it was now he started moving closer to me. I started backing away. He must have seen the fear in my eyes, but he continued, scuffling towards me. I heard the elevator engine start ticking, and that it was on its way down. He told me he's been following me on the train, that he saw me there and that he just had to follow me. It was now that he lifted his head from his previous position, showing how tall he really was, and the shaking stopped. He spoke again.
"You're the most beautiful thing I've ever seen."
If I thought I was frozen before, that was an understatement. I was now pressed against the elevator door, and he was so close that I could feel his scent. Some may think that these words still have to be somewhat flattering, but the way he said it, it sounded like a death sentence, like something bad. Bad for me. It was about when I heard the elevator stop on the first floor and someone walked down the stairs to the courtyard. That door is located on a small platform between the ground floor and the first floor stairs. You also know how you can recognize and distinguish your parents' steps from others. I did this with these steps that came down the stairs, and I heard that they were my father's. Thought that I would scream for him, but then I realized that the man would know that I first lied, and then he might get angry and do something to my old father. That was when my father opened the door to the courtyard and the lightning struck the yard. The sound waves of the crackling lightning pressed itself through the open door and made the whole marble stairwell scream. I screamed. The man screamed. I went to my usual position regarding thunder and lightning, fetal position on the floor. He, on the other hand, jumped backwards and started running out.
while he shouted that he will be seeing me again soon. I barely realized what had happened. I went crying up in the elevator and into the apartment where I told everything to my mother and also my father when he came up from the courtyard. We reported the incident to the police and I went and dyed my hair, which made me feel safer, as my appearance changed quite drastically. I was a little scared after the incident, but also confused. I just kept thinking about what he was saying when he ran out.
I'll see you again soon.
I knew at least that I absolutely did not want to see him again. However, I didn't get what I wanted. About a month passed and I had practically forgotten about the whole situation. I was on my way to the central station to meet up with my boyfriend who was on the commuter train on his way to me. I stood and waited for him in the hallway between the commuter trains and the subway. In that particular hallway, a lot of people are walking, either to the trains or from the trains. Very few people are standing still in it. As I said, I stood there, looked down the hallway from time to time to try to see if my boyfriend had come yet, when I see someone else standing still. There was someone standing on the other side of the crowd, and although everyone goes in different directions and creates a kind of blurred effect on him, I see who it is. I freeze just like before. He stares at me. Not like our first meeting, but as if he's trying to make up if I am who he thinks I am, behind the dark hair. Then my boyfriend comes from the crowd and hugs me, and I have to look away from the man a few seconds to hug him back. I leaned my head against his shoulder and looked over it to see if the man was still there, but he was gone. I've never seen him since. But has he seen me? Thanks again to Karen, IRL Haji Mehinata, and CrispBread95. Please don't forget to send your encounters to NightmareSocietyRadio@gmail.com and check me out on the social media listed in the description. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.
Sweet dreams.